changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
How to become an abuse victor. Now, the reason I use this terminology is that most people, people are victims of abuse. That is a good use of the word victim. The word victim is thrown around a lot, and but people are abused, victims of abuse. It is something that happens to them, especially if they are children. And we're talking about this because so many people have experienced it. People used to ask me when I was a minister why I talked about the Bible, and I said, because it's a room we can all meet in. In other words, it's literally in every hotel everywhere. Everybody has seen or had a Bible. And unfortunately, many, many, many of us can relate to being abused. And abuse falls under a number of categories. And as I told you before, I want to recommend Beverly Ingalls' books. She has written a number of books on it. And what's interesting is that she was an abused person, and she comes out talking about how that happened. She doesn't go into details, but she admits it early on. And then about two-thirds of the way through the book, or halfway, she starts talking about how she then became abusive. And I was like, wow, to have a therapist and an author come out and say, as a result of my abuse, I became abusive, and that's what drove me to healing. Yesterday, we were talking about the types of basically abusive personalities, and I want to just recap those very quickly for those of you who may have missed it. You've got people who have narcissistic personality disorder. Now, by the way, not a therapist, not an expert, just trying to explain something I think I understand a little bit, all right? So you've got people with narcissistic personality disorder. Those are people who have been abused, hurt. They are so damaged. There is almost nothing that can be done for those people to change their personalities. They are literally snapped. They are broken. Now, they can learn adaptive behaviors if they are committed to changing. These people with narcissistic personality disorder can develop new techniques, but their record, as I said yesterday, is pretty well scratched. Now, then you've got people who have what is called borderline personality disorder. That literally means they're borderline to being narcissistic. They're very close in that territory. They struggle. It would be much harder for a person like this to ever make any kinds of changes. And then you've got people who have what's called an abusive personality. Now, this again is a person who tends to be either emotionally abusive or physically abusive, maybe even sexually abusive in a relationship. They tend towards that, but that is not their default setting. These people, if they understand that they have this issue and if they are committed to changing it, they can change. They can change. Now, I bring all of this up to first of all remind you, because we're going to talk about forgiveness, they're showing up to work, and that's why Teddy's starting to bark. Teddy, hush, buddy. Hush, hush, hush. Okay? A person with an abusive personality, like I said, can change. They've just got to have a desire to change, and they've got to work at it. And like I say, the reason I brought all this up is narcissistic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, and abusive personality. All of these three have one thing in common. They themselves were abused. Now, this brings us full circle to what we want to talk about today. If this is your first jumpstart on this subject that I've done, you should go back and watch the previous two or three, because there are stages here, and we are up to actually forgiving the person who abused us. Ha. Ha, 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 ha. I have done so many forgiveness exercises with my dad. I really have. I actually brought in like the world expert of forgiveness. Can't remember his name, to the church when I was the minister there. And he came and everything. And we did all these forgiveness exercises. And what I realized was I was still carrying a lot of energy about it. So if you're curious to hear how to release that energy and how to forgive, I'm going to tell you what it is that I did learning from this book. First of all, I had to go through all of the experiences of feeling the anger and the pain and the frustration and the embarrassment and all of the things that I felt as a child. I had to go through and feel all those things from that perspective. And then the next thing I had to do was I had to go back and I had to, in my mind and with my pen, which is how I do it, journaling and meditating, I visualized and I thought about what my dad's life was about like. And as I've said in books previously, his life was a horror story compared to mine. And so if we all tend to repeat what our parents did, that's called the repetition compulsion. We tend to say, oh, I'll never be that way. We tend to do that. He really was trapped in it. Number two, he was not aware that he was doing it, my father. And number three, he had it much worse than me. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing all this up is that after I felt my own pain, I went back and I felt his as a child. And I felt the pain that he felt right up until his last breath. And I thought about how he had driven so many people away. And that was his, just his way of being. And it was out of fear. It was actually out of fear of people leaving him, which is what a lot of abusive people do. They have a fear of people abandoning them. So basically they try and keep people on their toes just to keep them around or to try and prove that they love that person, that abusive person, or to try and fill that abusive person's big gaping hole, which they all have. So I say all of this to say that when it came time to forgive my father, this was not one of those, I forgive you. I'm still mad at you, but I forgive you. This was totally different. You know why? I put myself in the position of defending him. I used my journal and I wrote out why my father would have been the way my father would have been, how he would not, abusive people don't know they're abusing. I rewatched yesterday This Boy's Life with Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. And I was like, good gosh, this was my life. Again, I thought the same thing. But again, Robert De Niro, the abuser, always thought that he was helping. He was going to help. He was going to make Leonardo DiCaprio a better person. The problem was Leonardo DiCaprio already was a great, DiCaprio was a great person, the kid. But De Niro saw him as a terrible person. So he had to basically beat the badness out of him. Wow, all this sounds familiar. Kill or cure, he kept saying. Kill or cure. But De Niro wasn't aware of it, so neither was my dad. So what I did was I went through this whole long thing, and I sat down yesterday here on the couch with a box of tissues and my pen. This was 3 or 4 days ago. But as I went through the process of forgiving, and by the way, the word forgiving does not mean you contact the person. It doesn't mean you reconnect with the person. It is an internal process. The word forgive means literally to release your resentment. You're the one carrying it around. The main reason I came up with for forgiving my father was I'm tired of carrying it around. I didn't realize how much I still was carrying it around. I'm tired of it. So I'm ready to let it go. So I went through this process and I defended my father as to why he may have been that way. And then I went, of course you were the way you were and it's okay. And I'm responsible now for myself. When I bring this up, by the way, and I'm fully expecting some comments like this, people, why should they get let off the hook? My father's dead. He has no idea that I was still carrying around pain. And even if the person is still in your life, you win by not allowing them to have hold of your emotional reins, to steer your emotional horse. And you can't fully embrace that and lead your life until you forgive, until you forgive. And I'm going to close this, and then I want to hear your comments. And since I said comments, it's time for everybody to share and click share and type in the word share. Thank you. I think we had 10 shares yesterday. That's awesome. I look at this, and it's like you reached 50,000 people last week. Wow. That just blows me away. It is so thrilling. The one thing that I know, too, is that forgiveness is not a vaccination. I've said this for years. Forgiveness is a vitamin you take every single day. Because as things happen in my life, and as I think about my dad, or I don't know, anything, something pops up in my life, I go, oh, that's right. I already forgave him. Of course he was the way he was. And I say that a supplement is something, or a vitamin is something you take every single day for the rest of your life, ideally. I'm going to take mine. You do that every single day. And over time, you feel better. I'm going to put a link in today's broadcast. This is the Buddhist monk whose forgiveness meditation I have been doing every day for almost a month. And it's a self-forgiveness exercise because ultimately, as Michael Beckwith talks about, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Even we are angry at ourselves as children for not standing up for ourselves, which we couldn't have done. So all of that is part of the process. All right, everybody, let's see what your comments are with regards to what we're talking about today. Talked about that. Ashley says, Dominic and Juanita say, grateful for the funny little things that happen in my life. Just discovered a young muskrat living in the culvert in the end of our driveway. Cute, but will rehome it to a better location. I like that term, rehome it. That's a great one. We had minks that lived on the lake in Missouri, and they would eat wiring in your boat. Good morning, Jerome. Good to see you. Jerome says he's grateful for a chance to give and receive love. Awesome, Jerome. We feel your energy. This discussion is spot on. It's already allowed me to acknowledge how amazing my children have broken the cycle of a narcissistic and abusive past. Thank you, Barbara Jo. Thank you for your honesty. People don't want to admit that they were abused. It's embarrassing. Why? Because life, yes, yes, Will Bowen, this is brilliant, says Barbara Jo. Thank you. Ashley Day says, shared. Ed says, resentment and guilt multiplies when I refuse to forgive and my grip tightens around the past. Amen to that, buddy. You know, forgiveness is always about what happened in the past. You don't forgive somebody for what they're going to do in the future. And if our focus is on the future, there's often a lot less we need to forgive. Ed, good to see you. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else going to click share before I say TTFN? Today is Friday, but I will be with you tomorrow. We're going to close the loop on this on Monday because we weren't able to do yesterday's because of the noise. But we're going to finish up on Monday. And then I've already got something else I want to share with you that is so interesting. It's all about YouTube's algorithm and how our minds play into it. It's kind of amazing. Everybody, make it a great day. Make it a great weekend. I'll be with you tomorrow, so be sure and join me as usual at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Teddy says, have a great day. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying.